From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
When he created you in his image, do you think it's possible that we will one day be in his image? If he says, I've created you in my likeness, is that possible? In God's mind, is it what, 50% possible? Maybe 60. What about 70? If God created us in his likeness, don't you think he believes that it's 100% possible to achieve? Isn't that right? But we can't do it alone.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon. When God created the heavens and earth, it says the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Well, the Spirit still has a vital role in creation as God continues to mold us into his image. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Holy Spirit.
In the beginning of time, you'll notice in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the water. So I know in chapter 1, who's with God in the creation? The Holy Spirit. Because it said the Spirit of God was there. Now, if you notice, it's not until chapter 1 or 2 that he begins creating man, you and me. So, the Holy Spirit predates creation. So you know the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning and was there when God was creating you and me. Now, we often think like an automobile starts off in the showroom. Nice leather smell, beautiful, shiny car, brand new. But it doesn't really start off in the showroom. It ends up in the showroom. What are you talking about? It just started. No. You see, it started way over here in the design room when a designer imagines the best, coolest car he can imagine in his mind. Just imagines it. And then he starts drawing that image that he has in his mind. And so he draws a car in his image. Once the car is done and designed, they then actually create that car, or they build an assembly line to press that car and its fenders and axles and however they want it to. They actually manufacture everything custom to match that image. Then when it's finally created, then bloop, it's here in the showroom. But it didn't start here. It ends up here. The same is true with you and me. We don't start off on the birthing table when we're born. We actually end up there. Where'd you start? Way over here in God's divine design room, where he imagined the most preferred future for you, and you. And he imagines the best he can. And he draws out your life, blueprints it out. I know he's got good plans, Jeremiah 29, 11. I know the plans, or the blueprints that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're blueprints not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have he's designed your eternity, and he takes that design, watch this, and he crushes it, puts it into a seed, and through that you are conceived. You end up on this birthing table, but within you, in potential form, all of the blueprints that God has for you. Everything that he designed for you, everything that he desires for you, that he created you in that image, it's in you right here. However, you don't know how it goes together yet. It's in ingredient form. It's a recipe, as it were. You need help. Every child that's born is born with a sign around his or her neck that says, some assembly required. And God knew that you can't do it on your own. Nobody can. We're like sheep. So he's going to assign a navigator to you. Now, in the Old Testament, that navigator was called the glory of God. Remember in the wilderness, the glory of God appeared to the Israelites to guide them through. And so he appears as a cloud by day and fire by night. That's called the glory of God, his presence. And Moses would go into the glory of God, come out, his face would shine. He met with the glory of God. And Moses was a leader because he caught the direction that God wanted his people to go in. So, in the Old Testament, he led his people by the glory of God. Everybody got that? In the New Testament, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to guide us, but not with a pillar of fire or a cloud. He's going to assign the Holy Spirit to indwell every single one of us. And now we have his personal presence in each of us. So would you write down in your notes that he can, the Holy Spirit can fulfill God's design in us. He can, and underline the word can. He can. He can, not you. Let's read what the scripture says here in Philippians 3. Go. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working towards that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for. And when he created you in his image, do you think it's possible that we will one day be in his image? If he says, I've created you in my likeness, is that possible? In God's mind, is it what, 50% possible? Maybe 60. What about 70? If God created us in his likeness, don't you think he believes that it's 100% possible to achieve? Isn't that right? But we can't do it alone. That's why the next scripture says this. Let's read it. Go. The Holy Spirit can fulfill God's design in us. You and I will not be able to fulfill God's design by your own power and strength, but only with the help and assistance, his help and assistance. Continue. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. So God, by his Spirit, wants to do that. Now, in the Old Testament, he did that with the pillar of fire. It's called the glory of God in the wilderness. In the New Testament, it's going to be the same thing. The Holy Spirit is there to help and guide you. Now, here's one of the things that's crazy, and that is this. When you and I were born, he gave us an incredibly risky gift. Here's the gift. Free choice. Oh, that's risky. The reason he did that is because God does not want to create robots. He wants people with free will so that it's a matter of their heart that they follow the instructions and guidance of the Holy Spirit. If he wanted you to be a robot, then he would cause you in some way to never sin and never reject him, never do anything wrong. But he gives us this risky gift called free choice, that you can override the Holy Spirit when he's speaking to your conscience about something. Isn't that right? What if you couldn't? What if it was mandated that you couldn't sin? Because sometimes we say, well, why didn't God keep me from that? Why didn't God stop that person from shooting or doing this? Well, if he did, then no one would have any free will. It's a risky gift. Let's say you get mad at somebody and you want to shoot them, so you pick up a gun and you're all, stop it, God, I want to shoot him. No. Oh. You go through the store and you see something you want to steal. What's going on? No, you can't steal. But I want, no, can't. I want to hit somebody. Well, after a while, it's like, you only do this. Don't look at that girl. Right? So after a while, all of us would be robots. And so he gave you a risky gift called free choice. That can even veto the navigator who was designed from the beginning of time to you so that you will fulfill his will in your life by your heart and desire, not by mandate. So you can overcome that. Well, what if you do veto that? Then you kind of go by trial and error. I don't know about you, but you don't live long enough to try and make it by trial and error. You don't have enough time. Our life on this earth is like, if I drew a cable through this auditorium and vertically made a mark with a pen, the width of that mark is about how long our life is on this earth compared to eternity. And you just don't have the time and the length of life to do everything by trial and error. We need a shepherd. How many of you would agree? Boy, I tell you, we need a shepherd. Hence, he assigned the one who knows the design and the image more than anyone else. And he gives them to us as a gift. He calls the Holy Spirit the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, let's read that scripture under number 3 there. See, the thing is, he gives us that free gift of free choice, but we must be, here it is, write it in, willing to obey. Willing to, you got to be willing to obey because he's not going to force you. Sorry. Why? If God loved us, why didn't he stop that guy from sin? He's doing that because he does love us. If he didn't, he'd be a robot, and so would you. But let's read the scripture in Acts 5:32. Would you read it? Go. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Well, he wants me to obey him, so instead of forcing me, how does he do it? Here's how he does it. Are you ready? This is how he guides you. He will guide you by nudging you in one way, nudging you another, putting pressure on an area that you need to give attention to. Have you ever done something wrong and you said, man, that is so heavy on my heart, I gotta rectify that? I mean, isn't that right? Well, what he's doing is he's putting the weight of his finger on an area of your life. It's sort of like this. Let's say that my finger here is the fulcrum, so it's the balance point here. And I say, okay, I need to balance my life out. So here's my family and here's work. And I'm just going to balance it out so everything is balanced. So I say to my wife, you take care of the kids and I'll bring in the money. Okay, everybody got it? Got your job? Okay, that's how I balance my life. Okay, now everybody, nobody move. That's how I want to stay balanced. Well, everyone knows that if you're balancing life, life doesn't not move. It's moving all the time. And in order to balance, you have to move. You have to stay balanced. For example, if someone's trying to balance something on their head, they don't stay still. They have to move to stay balanced. Isn't that right? For example, look at this guy here. See, he's got to move a little bit to keep that stuff from falling. I don't know what it is, but he's got to stay moving. And the same is true with the Holy Spirit. Remember when the children of Israel went through the desert and the Holy Spirit was guiding them by the glory of God, but was it a straight line? Was it a still line? Static line? No. Look at the map here. You can hardly see it, but it's this red dotted line. They go up over the Red Sea, down into the Sinai, way up almost to the Promised Land. Nope, not yet. Go back down. And then over to the other side, and then back over in Jordan, then up there. It's all over the place. In other words, the Holy Spirit is balancing them, leading them, but it's not something static. It's all over the place. The same is true with this. Now, if this is the fulcrum, and let's have this fulcrum represent our heart, our attention, our focus. And when the Holy Spirit is guiding us, and this is called the principle of the fulcrum. And this is our heart, that's actually. Principle of the fulcrum says, sometimes God's going to put his finger on your marriage, and you're going to feel heaviness there. You're going to feel the finger of God saying, do something here. And he'll put weight there. And if you don't do anything, what happens? It's an unbalanced life, and you collapse. Sometimes people say, how come my marriage just collapsed overnight? It didn't collapse overnight. He put weight on it and you ignored it because you have free choice. He wants your heart. So in order to guide you to a place where you're willing to obey, because you need to be and I need to be willing, not forced, he'll put his finger on an area. And watch this. If he's putting his finger on an area to keep my life balanced, what must I do? I have to move the fulcrum. Watch this. Now, even when he puts a lot of weight on it, and I've moved the fulcrum here, it's still balanced. but I have to move my heart there, my attention there. And then after a while, he lets it up, and I can move it back over here. And then he might say, your finances need help. And you're going to feel like, man, I got to do something. Just maybe the Holy Spirit nudging you, because he wants to help you holistically, every area of your life. So he's going to put his finger there, and what do? You need to willingly move over. And when he's got that weight there, but you move your heart there, then things are taken care of. And he says, good, good. And then he'll say, now this relationship is heavy on your heart. Yeah, that's me. Do something with that. Take care of it now. And you take care of it, and good. Now, you know what that's called? Just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, why does he use weight? Remember how he led the people in Israel? It's called the glory of God. It's the same thing in the New Testament. Do you know the word glory of God? The word glory is a Hebrew word kabod in Hebrew. And the word kabod actually means weight. The glory of God is the weight of God. Do you remember when Solomon was dedicating the temple? And it said they couldn't even stand because of the glory of God. What happened? The weight of God. In the New Testament, when Jesus was in the Garden of Olives and the Romans came to arrest him, he said, who are you coming for? We're coming for Jesus. And Jesus said what? He actually used the Hebrew word, Yod Heh Vav Heh, which we sometimes say it Yahweh or Elohim, which means I am. That's the name of God. And when he said that, what happened to the Roman soldiers? Glory of God shows up. The weight of God. And you see, in the New Testament, because the Holy Spirit comes in you, when he puts his weight on an area of your life, he's guiding you. And when you obey, it glorifies God. He is honored to give you his glory, to bring glory to his glory upon your family, his glory upon our church. Sometimes we think, oh, I want to glorify God, so let's have this blissful concert. Oh, it might happen like that. But really, the glory of God is honored when we simply obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. And God says, now you're understanding how to glorify me. I mean, singing is good, but not all of you can sing, so you got to figure another way. Well, how do I do it? Just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put something on you. It's my weight. And when you respond to that, you're understanding the glory of God, the very same glory that I led the children of Israel through the desert by. I'm now leading you in your heart. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And so he'll do that. Now, watch this. What if I don't obey? And he puts weight here. What's going to happen? A collapse. Collapse in your marriage, collapse in your finances, collapse in relationships, collapse in the church, whatever it might be. That's just the consequences of it. Trial and error. You don't want to live like that. But when you don't obey or listen to the weight of God, there's a collapse that takes place. I call it a storm. Now, in your notes, you're going to see there's two kinds of obediences. I actually made a mistake there. Please cross that out. There's two kinds of storms. Put that in there. There's going to be two kinds of storms when I don't listen to the Holy Spirit, a collapse. First is you're going to have correcting storms, correcting storms. Jonah went through that. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. Do you remember? But instead, he said, no. This Holy Spirit's nudging him. No, I'm going to go the other way. I don't want to do what you want me to do. So he went the other way. And what happened? God caused a storm. He was thrown overboard. He was swallowed by, I think it was an ahi. And ahi came back. Poop, spit him back out. So you will do what the Lord's telling you to do. That's called a correcting storm. But there are also, the second kind of storm is a perfecting storm. You're serving God. You're doing the best you can. But there's areas of your life that he needs to yet refine. Yet might be immature, unknowledgeable, replete with mistakes, but you're trying your best. So he's going to start to refine you. Not only when you're going completely wrong, will he rush in and say, no, stop. He'll do it in a correcting way and then in a perfecting way. Do you remember when Peter was walking on the water and he took his eyes off of the Lord and he saw the wind and waves and he started to what? Sink. And God grabbed him and said, we're going to have to work on that faith of yours, because there's not much there, O ye of little faith. Why did you doubt? So let's work on that. So you're going to have perfecting storms. You're going to have correcting storms. Let me tell you of a perfecting storm when God put some weight on my life. I was at the office one day, and I just, for some reason, out of the blue, felt the Lord say, you need to spend time with your son. He was like in the fifth grade or so. I just couldn't shake it, just heavy on my heart. I didn't know what was happening. So I went down to the school and I said to the principal, can I take my son out today? And he said, yeah, it's about 10 in the morning. I said, yeah, I guess so, you're the parent. So we went to the classroom, and the principal shows up and says, Aaron, come. Aaron's eyes got really big. He said, grab your stuff, grab. Oh, he thought, now I'm getting expelled. He came out and then he sees me. He goes, oh no, I'm really done now. My dad is here. And he said, Dad, what's wrong? What did I do? I said, we won't talk about that now, but let's talk about what you can do. And that is this, let's go and play hooky today. He said, really? I said, yes, let's play hooky. Whoa, he said, this is so cool. You wanna go fishing? Yeah. So we went to the Hilo Bay and we went fishing all day. Now, till this day, I don't know what was going on that caused the Lord to say to me, spend time with him. He has yet to reveal to me what was happening in the heavenlies. I have no idea what the enemy was strategizing to do, but God knows and you don't. So all he's going to do is put weight on an area. You won't understand why. The question is, will you obey? One day when you get to heaven, he might rewind the videotape and show you what would have taken place had you not. There's times where God's going to say to you, you need to spend time with your wife. Take some time off and have lunch with her. Why? You don't need to know. Just go do it. And then it becomes a matter of the heart, right? Not a matter of the mind. There's going to be times, Mom, the Lord might say to you, take some time and work with your granddaughter, your son, your daughter, or a son or a daughter. You need to just take time with your parents. When was the last time you took your parents out for dinner? Huh? Never? Yeah, that's it. Do it now. I kind of like this. I'm just going to hang on. Give me a kind of a false sense of power, you know? But God's going to do that, and you need to listen, because there's going to be sometimes it'll be a perfecting storm. You're doing your best. But other times it'll be a correcting storm where God's going to rush in and say, stop. It might be a consequence, or a friend comes in and says, don't do that. It might be a setback in your health, or someone finds something out. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden it's a come to Jesus talk. Boy, when that happens, fall to your knees. Because God sees something in your future that would debilitate you, and he rushes in. When the Holy Spirit puts that much weight on you, obey immediately, please. Because there's something you don't see, but it's about to destroy something very important. And if you don't, that's why families collapse, marriages collapse, people's souls collapse, their faith collapses. They become bitter, and it takes them years to overcome that bitterness. Did it happen overnight? Mm-mm. Somewhere along the line, you vetoed the weight of God and ignored his glory. There's going to be times there will be a lot of weight put on an area of your life, and the Holy Spirit's going to rush in. And you're gonna feel like, I gotta do something. Boy, when you sense that move of a correcting storm come in, some of us will just say, well, I'm out of here. I'm done with this church. I'm done with this marriage. No, stop, stop, stop. If there's a weight, there's that much weight being put on it, listen, because the Holy Spirit has been assigned, maybe, to save your life, your future. But the cool thing is, when you obey, God is glorified. That's the weight of God. The kabod of God is at work. Just like with the children of Israel, the same Holy Spirit who was back then comes here, and it's still the weight of God, the kabod of God, kabod of God. But he lives in you, and he's going to guide you. My prayer for our church, is that we will become a church that's filled with His glory. Amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Holy Spirit with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.